Jesse Shabbat.
Bat, 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 bat.
Was it? Oh, Fessy? Oh my, really?
Really?
Fessy!
If you know, you know.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Square One Scares, with special guest Vincent the Vegetable Vampire, will not be presented at this time, so that we may bring you this treat.
Hey, Chico Alexander here, and I just have one thing to say.
What's that?
Train schedules are your friend, especially if you're backpacking across Europe.
Yes, and especially if you are a member of a Big Brother Amazing Race team. You know what is also, I also learned?
What's that?
You can upgrade your streaming service if you're a certain game show.
Oh, yeah, you can upgrade your, yep. Okay, we'll get into more of that. Plus, while we're, you know, talking about going worldwide, did you know that MIPCOM was this week?
No, I did not, but you have all the good formats that are out there,
right? I do, including the return of an old favorite.
Okay.
I think you're gonna like this.
That usually means you're not, by the way.
Oh, contraire, mon frère.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see.
We shall indeed, because with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, and from somewhere in America, WLTI is all. Let's go!
Whee!
Welcome to episode 509 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast, as we are smack dab in the middle of fall. It's the middle of October 16th. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and trying to keep everybody warm. This is, of course, WLTI and 5and1. Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well, hope you are.
I am, and it's time to drop our pants. I mean buffs. Let's go.
Maybe it's time for you to drop your pants.
We are, okay, this is a no pants podcast. Let's go.
It is that time of the year, isn't it, Jay?
It is, because what happens is that the Kele tribe has become Pagong. They've lost four tribes in a row, and this is what they were thinking about as they were heading to see Jeff the next day.
I mean, we're keeping a buck right now, we ass. So.
That's right. But Jeff saved them and said, drop your buffs. We're going from 3-2. Uli, good night, everybody. We'll see you at the next, you know, we'll see you in Survivor 50 or whatever.
Called it.
So what?
Called it.
Well, you can't have, like, you know, what is it, 6-2. You can't do that.
You can't do that. You can do 5-4. You can't do 6-2. But they decided to just split it right down the middle, 7 bodies each. So
right.
The new Hina
so,
but, is... Sorry.
Yes.
But, because it's drop your buffs, everybody moves, not just the people, not just the twosome. It's both sevensomes also getting new set of characters.
Yep.
Sort of.
The new Hina tribe is Matt, Sophie, Savannah, Nate, Jawan, Jason, and Rizzo. Matt and Jason, the only one to stay on their original tribe. The new Kele consists of former Ulis, Sage, Shannon. Yeah, Sage and Shannon. And then
right.
You have, former Hina MC.
MC.
And
former Hina Christina.
Christina. Steven and Sophie with an E. And then there's Alex.
Right. So we have our new tribes. And we get into our reward and immunity challenge. Okay?
Okay.
They start in the water, and they have to move their boat to a station containing 10 small cubes. Once their boat was hooked, one tribe member brought those cubes across a balance beam, while the remaining six worked together to transport six larger cubes across a separate beam. Then they all work together to assemble all 16 in a stack. Okay? First tribe to compete won immunity and fruit. And that was, believe it or not, Kelly! Yay! They won immunity! Okay. So they finally get blinked and all that stuff. Okay? And fruit.
And fruit.
So Rizzo found an idol. Okay?
So Rizzo finds an idol. Kelly wins the challenge. All in all, we have a twist of fate here.
Right. So what happens is that it went down to Matt or Jason. Matt thought that Savannah and Sophie voted Jason in case of advantage, but that really didn't matter because Matt was voted out. I believe it was 5-2 or 4-2. 4-2-1, excuse me. Yeah. Yep.
We have one person out. And here's the thing. Matt did not. Okay, I'm going to bring up a local girl, the goat of Survivor, let's say. Sandra Diaz Twine. We can all agree she's the goat, right?
One of them, yes.
Matt has gone on record as saying that he hates the way Sandra played the game. But that did not stop him from trying to emulate her style of gameplay in the whole anyone but me sort of situation. And yet people called him on it.
Well,
he didn't have much leverage. Again, he's one of two people on a tribe that hasn't lost a match yet. You need to get rid of someone from that other tribe. It's either Matt or and it had to be Matt, really, if you look at it from a gameplay perspective.
Yeah, uh-huh. It did. He was a strong competitor, and he was getting traction. You had to get him out. Really did.
Yes, he did. So there we go. Now you're all caught up on Survivor. So let's catch up with Big Brother people in the Czech Republic. Okay, so we hope to God that nobody has to be fetched out of a task this week as we go from Prague to Budapest, Hungary.
That was the second week in a row, right? If I'm not mistaken? Well, no, two... I'm sorry. It's happened twice already, hasn't it? No, it hasn't. Anyway. So they had to travel by train and search their clue at the Chechny thermal bath. They had to search the bath for a king and had their next clue. Okay? And then they had to travel on foot at the Vadošletky Mujekbala. Wow, yeah. That's pretty hard.
Yeah, and there
we have what, Chico?
A fast forward! It is ta-da! The only fast forward of the race. And for this season's fast forward, one team had to solve, what I have in my hand here, a Rubik's Cube, given step-by-step directions for doing so. There's actually directions online for solving the cube, if you are so
inclined. It's like right, left, right. It's like there's a certain pattern to it.
Yes, it's like right, left, front, back, down, up, down, left, right, BA, start. Yeah, we know.
That's a Konami code. Anyway, so you had to do it with it. So anyone who attempted it had to do it within, each team member had to do it within 77.5 seconds on the same attempt. And believe it or not, Tucker and Eric got it. Good for them.
Good for them. I mean, they were able to memorize the way to solve the cube very quickly, and as a result, they bypass all of the tasks and go directly to the pit stop, where they land in... Are you ready for this? First!
Huh?
They land... Tucker and Eric land in first because they won the fast forward.
They just decided to say, bye, we're done.
Yep, we're done.
Oh, wow. So they used it right away.
Yep.
Nice.
So,
okay.
So let's go with the rest of the... Let's go to the rest of the pack, by the way, for this leg of the race, for winning this leg of the race. Tucker and Eric have won a trip via Expedia Cashback rewards to La Paz, Bolivia.
Nice.
All right.
So the other teams had to go to Ludovica, Huchar, Lovarda. Okay. And the one team member had to they had to steer a horse-drawn coach through a figure eight within 45 seconds to receive their next clue. That ain't easy, mind you. Not at all.
It's not easy to direct a horse-drawn carriage. And after that roadblock, you travel to the House of Houdini, where you have to and unlock a box containing your next clue.
Which is detour.
Juggling act?
Juggling act or balancing act? What's juggling act?
In juggling act, you have to juggle 5 rings for 10 seconds to receive your next clue.
Okay, in balancing act, they had to perform a folk dance which involved balancing a bottle on one racer's head to receive their next clue. And then they had to go to the pit stop, which is the Varkat Bazaar beneath Buddha Castle, as in Buddha and Pest. Okay? So as we said, the winner was Tucker and Eric. By the way, they have not finished fourth. They haven't finished below fourth this entire race. And Kat and Alex, who were struggling the entire race, they're done.
They're done.
They're gone.
But I'm looking at the racers so far. Izzy and Paige and Kylan and Taylor have jumped to third and fourth respectively in the race, and they were on the cusp of being eliminated sooner or later, so that's pretty impressive.
And interesting, though, Jazz and Jag have dropped from second to fifth. Again, it's everyone's race, and now they're going to go from Hungary to Dubrovnik, Croatia in next week's episode. So,
by the way, next week, caution, U-turn ahead.
Here we go. All right. Here we go. But now, you know what? It's actually, I think, appropriate to play the Concords at this point. I think it is.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh.
It's business. It's business.
All right. So this week was the beginning of the international television market known as MIPCOM, where we see the formats of the future and some of the formats of the present get new life through international broadcast and production deals. Some of these things are, you know, a portent of things to come in the game show world, like, let's say, The Traitors and The Chase. Those were pretty good shows that came out of MIPCOM. So if something catches fire in MIPCOM, watch for it to catch fire in America sooner or later. For example,
I have a bunch of them that I have a list.
Oh, you have actually. Oh, you have a list? Okay, let's go.
I do, and I want to thank, honestly, I want to thank Google AI for this one, for real. Okay. Something called Red Carpet Survival. Okay.
Okay.
This was renewed for a second season in Italy, It's a VIP celebrity who must navigate a challenging red carpet with three bodyguards facing physical and mental obstacles. Okay.
All right.
Hold on. I have a show called Wisdom of the Crowd.
Okay, I've got details on that because that's a BBC format that RTL bought for Germany, which is basically seeing individual contestants face off against 200 other contestants answering number-based questions. If a contestant's answer beats the average guess of the crowd, they win a cash prize. If not, money goes into a jackpot for the crowd. So it's basically 1 versus 100 with numbers.
Okay. I have a show called The Final Circle. This was called Satisfaction. It's a French show. It's got international distribution from Warner International Television. 50 contestants enter a 360-degree arena to test their logic, memory, language, and visual skills. Circle tightens with each elimination, leading to a high-stakes finale. Okay.
So it's a thinking man's 99 to beat, then?
Could be. Could be. How about this one called The Auction?
I've got information on The Auction. It is an, I believe it's an, yep, it is an Israel, is it, yeah, it is an Israeli format, and it's getting
actually Peruvian.
Well, yeah, okay, so it is an Israeli format, but it's being made in Peru and also Italy.
Okay.
So there's that. Now there's also some deals going up from ITV, including A Party to Die For, which takes murder mysteries and turns them into a game show. The return of Come Dine With Me. The Chase is going to New Zealand. A second season of My Mom, Your Dad in Brazil. And...
Mm-hmm.
The return of a Fox reality favorite, Solitary.
Oh, nice! Yay! I know you like that one, G.
Yes. Yes, sir.
There's also a couple of other ones I've heard. Trainer Games. That could be the high district fitness competition. Something called Caught in the Middle.
All right, yeah, that's being made for Australia, and that's coming from Talpa, which is the company behind The Voice.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good formats, and we will be seeing them probably in the next year or so.
Yeah. Oh, one more format. Denmark has bought in for the Japanese format of Versus School Ultimate Hide and Seek.
Okay.
Sort of reminded me of Resident Evil 2 when you had all those zombies in the schools.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
So that's what we have to look forward to if anybody picks something up here in America. We'll talk about it.
Definitely will. But...
Sure will.
But right now, at the moment, Jeopardy is back on its, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, Johnny. How you doing?
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
All right, so
I believe we are at 5 in a row right now.
We are at 5 in a row. Spencer James defended on Friday, but was beaten by Amy Fluitt, who was beaten by Allegra Hill on Monday, who was beaten by Chris McGinn on Tuesday, and who was beaten by perhaps the youngest regular champ in Jeopardy history, Delaney O'Day, at 18 years old. An undergraduate...
Young, not old.
18 years young, sorry. So, the undergraduate student from Santa Monica, California, is up against Cindy Del Rosario, a hospice and palliative care nurse from Denver, and Dave Ketter, a tutor from Durham. Don't ask, I don't know him. Going into the final, Sydney has 16,600, Delaney has 11,600, Dave has 6,700. All of it to play for as we get set for our final Jeopardy category of U.S. presidential elections. The clue. The worst showing by an incumbent candidate in an election was when this man came in third with just 8 electoral votes.
Wow. I was thinking third, but no, I don't know. I'm gonna look.
Well, I'll give you a hint. Wow. It was a man who didn't even want to be president.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that was, and I looked at it. Who was William Howard Taft? That's right. He didn't want it.
Nope, he didn't want it. He wanted to do anything but be president. Gordon?
And the fact is, Cindy was the only one who got it right, and she's the new champ with 23-201. But yep, Wheel of Champions for now.
Gordon, your thoughts?
But we have a bigger Jeopardy story in the business end in a few minutes.
Yes, Gordon. I'm trying to throw it to Gordon here.
Well, it was a very good championship run. I think we're going to see him in the TOC. And as far as the Jeopardy question is concerned, I'm not going to go after the low-hanging fruit. So I will leave that alone.
You have no idea what the hell we just talked about, did you?
The final Jeopardy question person that did not want to be president.
Oh, I was
talking... Oh, okay, never...
Yeah, I was talking about, like, we weren't talking about a TOC guy.
Yeah, no, well, the TOC is TJ Fisher. So, but... We need to talk about Dancing with the Stars this week. And the big deal of it, because it was dedication, is it was all emotional. And it was, you know, all great. Lots of family members. I mean, but of course, the highlight was Danielle Fishel bringing out 98-year-old William Daniels as Feeny with the whole Boy Meets World cast. It was actually the highlight of the year so far.
Yeah, man. If you are a Gen Xer like the three of us,
no, I'm a baby. I'm Gen X. Yeah, Gen X. I was thinking you thought you said Gen Z or Millennial. Oof,
oh hell no, we're not that young.
Uh huh.
But yeah, if you are a Gen Xer like the three of us, it was just so. But that whole night was just. Absolutely so much. And the thing
are people upset that no one went home? You don't take anyone home on like the emotional nights. You don't do that.
I'm just saying people were upset that nobody got eliminated. By the way,
Chico, I heard no one was upset really.
No one okay. So nobody on the show was upset, but people, quote unquote, we're upset. People will be upset if the sky's blue.
Exactly. But before we end our first segment, why do you want to spread some love to our one of our favorite shows on the floor? What's going on?
Well, for one, when I was doing this program, we only had 5 things to talk about. And for another, we haven't talked about the floor despite having really good feelings about it. And for third, something happened that is a first for the floor. On October 15th, that is yesterday, the Golden Square was found. And
what's the Golden Square?
The Golden Square, I believe, allows one person to change their subject of expertise.
Hold on,
well, it was actually called the category steal. So what you can do is you can steal, if you win enough in a row, which did happen, you can steal a category, a specialist category from anybody left on the floor.
And by the way, it would otherwise have only been revealed if somebody challenged that category. And whoever wins that battle gets an extra $10,000. So somebody did. Somebody did find the golden square.
Okay.
And Aaron, who I believe is from North Carolina, he managed to. I want to say he has. Give me a second. Let me.
The category he had was fictional characters, fictional creatures, and he stole Harry Potter.
Yep.
And Aaron, by the way, has won 6 duels in a row as of last episode.
Yep, and so far he has 25 squares. 25 right. out of the 100. He owns a quarter of the floor.
That's correct.
That's a lot of squares.
Going into the top 66, which airs next week.
Yeah, by the way, you know who Aaron beat in a first video duel? That was the fourth duel of this episode.
That would be
an influencer in Oklahoma.
Bo?
Named Bo Bice.
Bo Bice. Oh dear God, from American Idol?
Yes.
That guy? Oh my
that
god.
Guy.
Okay. Well,
And he looks like he hasn't been on TV for 11 years since then.
So there you go.
Sometimes sometimes you find the American Idol. Sometimes the American Idol just doesn't find you. So, North Carolina
judging and Bo Bice is playing the floor. I think Bo Bice won. Really?
Yeah, exactly. North Carolina in the house. They're in the lead, and we'll find that out. But we need to talk about something very important in the business end, and we have a new game.
Yes,
we have a new game.
Yes, we do, because the baseball is reaching its heady climax. Gordon decided to hit one out of the park. We'll find out what all that means in a moment. For Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, Chico Alexander, 6 days with 5-1, you're home. But we love to interrupt. You guys, 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different ways that you are going to be enjoying the Halloween Baking Championships. Because Halloween's coming up.
We get 2 weeks, baby.
Yep, lots and lots of pumpkins. I'm still upset that my costume hasn't arrived in the mail as of yet.
Sir, have you said what you're going to be or not?
Yeah,
or
have you heard of Cells at Work?
Cells at Work? You mean the anime?
Yeah.
I know very well. During the pandemic, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to be a neutrophil.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We've all been talking about World Peace. Uh-huh. I'm going to be World Peace.
Are you going to be a piece of the world?
For Halloween.
Is that the joke?
I'm going to be the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, the Nobel Peace Prize. I see. All right,
Everybody gets a pee.
Everyone take a pee as we go to break. We'll be right back. This is 5-1. It's a production of We Love to Interrupt, WLTI. We'll see you.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
Well, if you remember Once Upon a Time, WLTI has been brought to you by... Well, Chico last week said something that was not factually correct. He said, well, yes, North Carolina has been winning his NFL games, which is true. And he also said that North Carolina didn't play, which he was trying to hope that it was true, but it wasn't. Therefore, WLT is brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, Clemson Crunch, because got crunched by Clemson. And by the way, I hear they're giving up free belly dances now. Because oh, maybe it's not Belichick. Maybe it's the other one. But anyway, Kentucky Fried Tar Heels.
My gosh.
We don't know who's coaching the team at this point.
The Mr. or the Mrs.
Well, I don't know who. I don't know who's.
You coaching. Lost by 20 to Clemson.
Oh gosh. Oh, let's just get right to the news, shall we?
Let's do it.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and at Tracks Productions. And don't forget to listen to Doug Morris as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt. That is Rock Tracks with Doug Morris every Sunday afternoon on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com. That is the live stream, also Odyssey and the Rock 104 apps.
I'm going to take this because the news broke this afternoon. Two things have happened. Can we get Johnny Gilbert one more time, please?
Halloween show.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
The long-awaited announcement of Pop Culture Jeopardy! Season 2 is official. You are now accepting, they are now accepting teams at Jeopardy.com. You can find a way to do it there. And you all take tests and there will be auditions, but... Chico, there's a bigger part of this. There's two bigger parts of this story.
There is a bigger part of this story, indeed. First of all, season 2 of Pop Culture Jeopardy is moving networks. And that is going, it's going from Prime Video, which has pretty much given up the ghost on its reality and unscripted programming, to Netflix. So, Pop Culture Gordon, Jeopardy 2.
That's an upgrade, isn't it? That's an upgrade or a downgrade, Gordon? To you.
Massive upgrade. You know, Netflix is Netflix, you know. You sort of wonder, what were you thinking? Why in the world did you do that? But okay.
You don't think that's a good move?
That's a nice get for Netflix, and that really opens the door for a lot of things.
Right. Now, but the second thing is that Colin Jost has not yet been announced as the host for season 2. You think they're negotiating a new contract, you think, because of his Emmy nomination and such?
Possibly. And also,
because honestly,
I think.
Because honestly, and I hate to say this, even though I didn't like his hosting style, his style is part of the reason why Pop Culture Jeopardy was successful.
That is true. Right now, Colin Jost is busy with SNL because he's got his Saturday nights fully booked until at least May. So
May, right?
So there's that. So, depending on that, they may decide to go in a different direction for Netflix. We will keep tabs on this. Another thing...
Well, no, Gordon, I have to ask you this question. This is a very... And I'll ask you both, actually. Because they're moving different networks, do you think they will do a different host? Is that a possibility?
Oh, it absolutely is a possibility. That's there. And there's been many shows that have moved from one place to another, and because of that, they have different hosts. You got to remember something. Sometimes those decisions are made by the network and not the production company. So that is absolutely a possibility. And I'll use Project Runway as a great example of that. When they move from place to place to place, you have a very unhappy Tim Gunn, and I can understand that, but that's how it is. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that could be, put it to you this way, either way, because yes, I am applying. I have a team already. We'll see where that goes. I've already,
by the way, Gordon's still not eligible.
I too am not eligible.
Yeah. Which sucks. But again, you should do it. And let me tell you something. Pop Culture Jeopardy was a major success on Amazon Prime. If they're moving to Netflix, they've got a lot riding. They have a lot behind it, I believe. Don't you? If they're moving to a bigger streaming platform, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I would say so. I mean, some people would argue against that, but I would definitely say so.
By the way,
and I think Netflix can do it. I think Netflix can really, with the social media aspect, do a really nice job on this.
I do.
Okay, by the way, buried lead in this news item, Lauren Anderson, who oversees Unscripted for Amazon, has been focusing on the advertising side of the business, and most of the Unscripted unit for Amazon has moved over to Netflix.
So in other words, the movement may not have been...
It may have been a sign that Sony was shopping the series elsewhere, and this is the end result. It also means that right now, Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, Buy It Now, Wishlist Games, we don't know
what they're gonna do. They should worry. Anyway, but that's a big, that's huge, that's great. Gordon, the date book's a little light this week. It's more of a date text, but here we go.
Well, it's the calm before the storm, you see.
The storm being November sweeps?
Yep.
And Sunday is the premiere of the country music show The Road. Monday, on Celebrity Name That Tune, we have Chris Harrison versus Andrienne Bylon Houghton. And Celebrity Week is Wink. Link is the Fox Ex-Wives Club. Wild and Out is Little TJ, Scarlet, and OG Parker. And the season finale of Love is Blind. But let's talk about that app, though.
MasterChef is on its All Stars Live Tour as we record. Right now, they're in New Orleans. They will be in Sugarland, Texas tomorrow, followed by stops in San Antonio, Austin, Mesa, Cerritos, California, and Funner, California. More tour dates are available at MasterChefLiveTour.com.
Let's also give some love, speaking of live tours, to our friends at The Price is Right. Price is Right Live, they just started their fall tour last week as well. They are running through November of 2025. This week they were in Newark tonight. They are going to be in Niagara Falls over the weekend, and then they're going to be in Atlantic City next weekend for four shows at the Tropicana, Gordon. And then they're doing their East Coast tour through November, and then from right through Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving last shows are going to be in Washington, and then in early 2026 they're going to do the warm tour in places like Arizona, New Mexico, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and then in the spring in Minnesota. They're already booked through May. Oh my God, they've only the May of 2026, where they're ending in Foxwoods. Let's also look at another show, if you don't mind. Wheel of Fortune Live, right? Because they're on their tour.
Yeah.
Tour. Because they're on their tour as well. And they're in Davenport, they're in Iowa this coming Friday, Minnesota this coming weekend. They're in St. Louis, Lawton, Oklahoma. They're in Oklahoma, Texas, and they are running through. I'm just trying to see where they are. They are running through. Oh wow! They're running through the week before Christmas, all across the United States. WheelOfFortuneLive.com for your information there. PriceIsRightLive.com. And where do you get the MasterChef one?
MasterChefLiveTour.com.
There you go. So you should check all. And by the way, if you go to one of those live shows, that's a very smart idea.
It is a very really smart idea. It is a very smart idea. Not quite smart to blame the audience on your own failure, though.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Okay. Are you smarter than Hilaria Baldwin? Yes, but moving on.
Okay, so she was eliminated a couple weeks ago on Disney Night with an interview at Us Weekly. She says, and now I'm quoting, "I'm very new to TikTok. I've only been on a couple of months. It's interesting because there's a lot of mean girls. I guess what people were doing is they were having campaigns where they wouldn't just vote for their favorite, because you could vote 10 times for a couple. They were voting for all the other couples except us, so they were boosting everybody else and trying to drown out my fan base."
Yeah, right. Yep. And, yep, I did. That's how it works. Yes.
I hate to be that guy, but that's how it goes sometimes. And also, if I'm being completely honest, as far as the dancing competition is, which again counts for half of your total score. Remember, it took us 20 years to figure this whole fracas out. You were kind of mid.
And besides, you got your husband's stink on you. No disrespect. Oh boy. Anyway,
Gordon, make this make sense.
You know, part of the issue here is that yes, obviously voting and talent is part of it, but on any voting show, these things are also based on your, shall we say, charisma, unique nerve, and talent, and a personality. And the problem here is that if we can't find one, that's some sort of issue.
Yeah, some sort of issue indeed. Okay, but look at it this way. At least she is in a loving and understanding relationship, however chaotic it may be. You could be in the middle of the Gary Turner, Teresa Nix fracas.
Go for it. Haterade!
All right, so Gary Turner's coming out with a memoir, Golden Years, What I've Learned from Love, Lost, and Reality TV. While promoting said memoir, he said he felt trapped by his marriage to Teresa Nist.
Is that the woman who he picked?
Yep.
Aha.
Whoops.
Yeah, so ultimately they did get divorced, and he goes into great detail in his book. Teresa Nist had a listen to the great detail and said, "Hold up one second, bitch." Out of respect for his family, now this is her talking, out of respect for his family, I decided a long time ago to not say anything, take the high road, and keep what happened between us, so I can't tell you how disappointed I am that Gary has decided to talk about me in such a disparaging way. Nothing he has said about me or how our conversations went is accurate or happened that in the way that he described it. I'm not sure if Gary has a bad memory, or if he just thought it would sound more dramatic the way he revised it. It makes me really sad to know how empty and trapped he felt prior to our wedding. I wish he'd just been honest with me. I really thought he loved me, but clearly he had me fooled. His behavior behind closed doors makes a lot more sense now. Damn.
Yeah, that there's a little, okay, there's a little bit of saltiness here. So where are we sending Hilaria and Teresa to?
We are going to send Hilaria and Teresa to Italy.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
Figured I'd do something different this week.
I like that, actually. Dolly, hold my hand. Anyway.
Okay, so we are going to Italy, where Netflix has picked up a brand new season of Rhythm and Flow Italy with a new twist and a new host. Or not a new host, okay. A new judge, sorry.
Okay.
And that's cool. And let's bounce over to Mexico, because World of Wonder has picked up Drag Race Mexico Latina Royale. It's expected to follow the same format of Drag Race Philippines Slasian Royale.
Okay. Good.
And let's bounce one more place here. Let's go to Japan, which has picked up The Floor.
By the way, before we get into that, you can do some country comparison, because they do have full season block episodes of The Floor Australia out, and you can go check that out on YouTube or whatever other social media platform you have.
Nice.
I would love to check that out myself. I would.
Okay. Now let's let's
check it out. Maybe find some new social media posts while you're at it.
Let's go pimping all over the world, shall we?
Yep.
I got pros in different area codes.
Area codes.
Pros in different area codes.
And this week's Media Pro Report, Carla Hall and Candace Nelson are joining Gordon Ramsay for Next Level Baker December 4th. David Cook's idol dreams are nice, but what he really wants to do is spin the big wheel. Tom Bergeron would have left Dancing after season 30 had he continued. Jessica Graff and Cody Nixon welcome child number 5.
Wow.
Whitney Cummings defends performing at the Riyadh Comedy Festival, although she does, you know, you can't just call everything racism. It loses meaning if you do that. Julian Michaels, who, by the way, had the opportunity to address The Biggest Loser in the Netflix doc, but didn't, rejects that the show is unhealthy.
Yeah, it is. Sorry. Yeah, it is.
Sydney Pate of Love Island USA rushed to the hospital for what she's saying, partying too hard for her birthday. Alan Cummings' New York City nightclub gets the documentary treatment. Can't wait to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Pepe and Brian eat for free on their Love Island fame and don't bother to tip. Boo! Last week when we talked about somebody blaming the editing for talking about LGBTQ being a fad, now yep. We have somebody else doing that. That's Annie. From Love is Blind. Valerie Bertinelli addresses her body image struggles. We lost Diane Keaton this weekend, which is sad. And,
I just want to make sure if Ace Frehley of Kiss did any,
I want to say he didn't, but I will, but if you could double
check. I'll double check myself.
All right. Morgan Pope and Vince Panero are still very much confused. But none of them are your pro of the week.
Okay.
Your pro of the week is Jesse Palmer, who is really getting around. I mean, he's really building his resume, but he's going to where it all started, the Bachelor Mansion, in the most shocking home renovation ever, as former contestants from across the Bachelor franchises will reunite for HGTV's newest competition series, Bachelor Mansion Takeover.
Oh, and by the way, yay. And by the way, we can talk about it because Kiss did appear on an episode of American Idol. So, yes.
There you go. So we lost Ace Frehley today. Anyway, back to Jesse. Jesse Palmer is going to host the competition with Tayshia Adams and Tyler Cameron serving as judges. Each episode will feature an elimination with Tayshia and Tyler judging each challenge alongside a guest judge. And in the end, only one Bachelor alum will win $100,000. The cast includes Dean Bell, Jill Chin, Noah Erb, Alicia Gupta, Tammy Lee, Sandra Mason, Sam McKinney, Brendan Moraes, Jeremy Simon, Christopher Stallworth, Joan Vassos, everyone's favorite bachelorette, and Courtney Robertson Preciado.
By the way, I actually have a breaking news about another person. Out 100 Disruptors, Parvati Shallow is in there.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Okay. According to Out Magazine, author, reality TV competition queen, life coach, and speaker Parvati Shallow describes her work as embodied, adventurous, and creative. She released a memoir this year called Nice Girls Don't Win. And, of course, she won earlier winning Survivor Australia versus the World. And then she said, taking on the label of queer has liberated me. It feels like wide open space and permission to be true to myself, whatever that means. Don't shrink for anyone. Be yourself. Be colorful. Have fun. And let joy be your guide. We need more joyful, authentic people on this planet. And, so she is now one of the disruptors in the Out 100. There you go. 2025 Out 100, out.com, if you want to check her out. People that... There are other people who... Before you do that, I'm sorry, you have to say that one more time. Some other people who are in the artist category include Anya Nerve, Frankie Grande, and others. So check it out. Pretty cool. Now you can say it.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brave Vision Jason, if you would, please.
I'm shutting it down.
All right. So we spent the last 509 episodes telling you how to play things and how not to play things. Now we're going to go outright judging people who did play things. But are their strategies fair, or are they foul? We will answer that question on the other side of this, here on We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back. WLTI is presented by Rubik, the amazing race cube. Yes, it's just like Rubik, the amazing cube, except when you put all of the sides together, it points you to the pit stop. And there you will find not a crazy looking cow bear pig, but a crazy looking kiwi who will tell you where to go next. That is Rubik, the amazing race cube, only available in Europe this year and New York at the end.
Yes. By the way, some other disruptors that I've been just looking through as we've been going through this. We have Murray Hill, Ginger Minge, Rosie O'Donnell, Ariana Madix, Bob the Drag Queen, and Amber Ruffin. All game show related.
Nice.
Reality show related. So, yes. But I see sunshine. I see clouds.
I hear babies.
I hear babies. That means we have a new game.
And here's Gordon to explain it.
This game is called Fair or Foul. We're going to look to see people's strategies on games, and we're going to determine fair or foul.
Okay. I have one that's sort of sort of old but new, and this is sort of a general one, if I can...
All right. Let me just ring the bell here.
Okay. Thank you. This has to do with Jeopardy. This is the now daily double hunting out of the gate versus the down the row strategy of the normal Jeopardy up until about... 5 years ago? 10 years ago-ish?
Yeah, this is one of those things that people look at it and say, this is how James Holzhauer ruined Jeopardy, ladies and gentlemen. No, if you ask me, you get 6 categories, 5 questions in each. Your optimal strategy would say that you have to build a bank first, and then when it comes to Double Jeopardy, then you go looking for the daily doubles. Otherwise,
is it fair or foul?
I think it's fair, but only if it's used properly.
Gordon?
I like the fact that they're talking about James Holzhauer when, I don't know, I would rather put that strategy on Chuck Forrest than James Holzhauer.
Okay.
I like it.
But you had the forced bounce. I mean, really, that's where it started.
And it's not so much hunting daily doubles as it is throwing your opponents off their game.
It's a little volcano low stuff.
There you go.
I mean, it's sort of a dual play here. I think it's absolutely fair from the contestant standpoint, but I can understand if the audience that wants to watch and play along feels like it's foul, because, again, you're bouncing from category to category to category. So that does not make great appointment watching TV unless you're a hardcore fan. It hasn't changed the ratings, though, so I'm going to go with fair.
I'm going to say fair as well. It's something that I have to get used to and practice, so to speak, if you know what I mean.
If you know, you know.
So, next one. I say it's fair.
All right, next one. All right, let's just say you're on Survivor, and this has happened at least twice this season. You convince somebody that they do not have to use their shot in the dark because they are safe.
That's totally fair, too. That's absolutely fair. It's part of the game.
It is.
What you're trying to do, at least in this particular case, is to make people think that they have a false sense of security. Annie was the perfect example of that, and believe in episode 2. You know, she thought she was the bee's knees and the cat's meow, and she was out of there because everyone said, you're safe, it's cool, go away. You know, that's perfectly fair to me.
And that should also be a warning to all Survivor contestants that if everybody's saying you're cool, you're safe, don't worry about it, you should probably be worrying about it. Absolutely fair.
Absolutely fair indeed. Like you said, the game is mental as it is physical. So there you go. Gordon, number 3.
And this is interesting because we're going to go back to the floor. You do have, and I can't talk about this season because it hasn't really happened yet, but all the other seasons, yes, there is a requirement that in the first round, everybody's got to play once. After that, it's all hands on deck, all men for themselves, and women for that matter. And you've seen a situation in at least two of the three seasons that I've seen where you have one person win two rounds and then the game. Because the first round they have to play once, and the second round they're not picked on until the end. Now, obviously, based on the rules, it's fair. Should the rules be altered?
Repeat what you just said. I'm sorry. I apologize.
So, basically, on the floor, everybody's got to play one round before you move over to the next round. But right. After that, it's you pick your opponent. And so there's been on a number of situations, and including in the foreign versions of the show, where people have only had to deal with two rounds. Round number one is the original, which is mandatory, and then they're not picked on until the end. And then they win. So obviously it's fair because it's legal. However, is that a rule that maybe the producers should be thinking about tweaking or changing?
Yes, I do, actually.
Yeah, I think it's foul. I think that's foul. That's a foul rule.
It is foul because what happens is that if you're in a subject, like let's say for argument's sake, I have a subject of car brands, for example, right? And which is a strong subject for me, but not necessarily a strong subject for the person who is knocking through stuff that they have. If they save me to the end, that's like, in a way, that's like taking a weak subject to the end, you know, a weak player to the end in Big Brother, you know?
Uh-huh.
You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying, yeah. It's like, okay, I'm going to save this subject for last because it is an easy in for the big money. That needs to be revisited, I think, because I'm not a fan of that sort of gameplay. I mean, if you're going to play this sort of game, God help you.
Well, I actually think the opposite. I think it's, I need to save this player for last because if I lose, I'm out. And this is not a category that is my strength. So if I can save them till the end where it turns into 2 out of 3, then I know, okay, maybe I can lose that one and win the other two and still win. That strategy hasn't worked yet. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Next one,
Jason.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Big Brother for a second here. Okay. And I'm going to... Okay, this is this thing that I've always had a little bit of a problem with, and I want to see if it's fair or foul for you. Throwing competitions so that you're not a target, either in throwing a veto and or throwing a head of household competition so you don't have blood on your hands. In other words, being a floater, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Am I explaining it correctly?
I think it makes sense. And I think it makes sense in the matter of gameplay. I mean, you do something about that, you like throw a competition, you're getting heat off your back.
I think it's fair. I don't think people know all the time how to use it.
Right.
To their disadvantage, we've seen many a time where that does not work in their favor. They go, oh, wow, I did that. And then when they realize that they're the ones that are being used as a pawn. I think it's fair. I think the problem with that is that people don't always know how to use it. And sometimes when they know that they can't win, they will turn around and go, well, I was throwing the competition.
It's sort of like what, I don't even remember her name anymore. Ashley. It's sort of like what Ashley did in the long game when she was downplaying how incredibly brilliant she was until the final speech was like, yeah, I am a lawyer, so I can argue this sort of thing.
Well, the only problem with that strategy is if she loses the last one against Morgan, she's coming in third, and that whole good speech goes down the toilet.
Indeed.
So sometimes downplay works, and sometimes it don't.
Alrighty, then.
Okay.
Okay, I got one. And it's something I've been noticing through the first month or so of the Wheel of Fortune season. When you make it to the bonus round, and what are you doing is available to be picked as a category, you pick it.
I don't think that that's a valid necessarily.
Because it's like every time somebody had What Are You Doing available, they picked it, and 9 times out of 10, they end up solving the puzzle.
I would actually have to see stats on that proving or disproving it. But the one thing that I will say that's fair on Wheel of Fortune is fixing that budget by throwing up Jazz Festival and other fun little items that if you have not been watching the show, you're going to be like, oh my God, Wheel of Fortune, how could you? Because, hey, we gave it $1 million. We got to course correct somehow.
Pretty much. And I've got my stats here in front of me. Well, give me a second here. Yeah, what are you doing? Was offered 7 times and picked 5. It was offered 7 times, picked 6, and 5 of those puzzles were solved.
Well, what are you doing is actually one of the easiest subjects to make because it's the ING 9 times out of 10. Okay.
So, I mean, with Wheel of Fortune, what are you doing? Yes, they have tricks now that used to work that don't anymore. Like, for argument's sake, that a two-letter word is usually my after that. So when you realize if you've seen Wheel of Fortune long enough and you've seen what the tricks are, they're no longer fooling anybody, which is what they used to do earlier. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's there. So now the onus is not on the contestants. It's on Wheel of Fortune to make those puzzles harder because they've already gave it $1 million. And who's to say that that's the only one they're giving out? It may not be.
Okay, so fair or foul?
It's fair.
Fair.
It's way fair, totally actually. Fair. It's totally fair because if it's up there, you take it because it gives you your best shot to win.
There you go.
It's for now.
You see going to a jazz festival being up there eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Could
going
be.
To,
Last
going
one, Gordon.
To Zizix, California.
Yes, exactly.
Last one, Gordon.
All right, so one of the things that we're noting on Love is Blind and for all relationship shows is that it looks like after the cameras are off, that's when the breakups begin. So with people not giving their relationships a new chance or them realizing that if this is a relationship that they can't get on the next single show, so hey, we're just going to break this up so I can be single again. Fair or foul?
It's foul, but it's fair.
Okay. I was just about to say, fair in theory, foul in practice.
Because it has been proven that all these relationship shows don't mean a hill of beep. It's bull pocky, okay? Perfect. It's bull pocky, okay? The fact that my God, I realize that I don't, you know, they're performing for the cameras. Good grief. You think Love is blind? Love is fake. Not blind.
Love is
fake.
Love is blind. Love may be blind, but all I can say is reality, as in reality television, perhaps the best demo reel that the cheapest demo reel anybody can have. It's like, hey,
I mean, it's
Love
like,
is blind, but reality is deaf.
There you go.
Right. But, I mean, look, and I'll give you an example. Keanu, right? How many reality shows are begging to pay him to be on? Okay. He's going to be on The Challenge. He's going to be back on Big Brother next year. Good grief. It's an audition.
I mean, and also the Bachelor family of television series is large indeed.
Yes, it is. Pardon me. Yes.
So
it
yes,
is.
It's fair in theory, but foul in practice.
Yes.
Go. And on that note, it's time to go to break.
All right.
And it's and we did hit one out of the park, and we'll revisit this maybe. We've got a speed round, and that's going to happen right after this. We're going to finish this up. This is 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back.
WLTI is presented by Is It Pie Caken? Yes.
Ha-ha! I've actually had that.
Halloween is right around the corner, and after that is Thanksgiving, and nothing says Thanksgiving better than three pies baked inside three cakes, layered one atop the other. The question is it just a plain old three-layer cake, or is it pie caken? Make sure you have blueberry, because, you know, Chico loves his blueberry.
I'm a key lime guy myself, really.
Gordon, you're a pie of choice?
Apple or cherry.
Okay.
Or I key lime for that.
Cherry pie, you need to get it right, because you can either have it too sour or not sour enough.
I know, right?
Cherry pie is very hard to get.
Yeah, cherry pie is a challenge. I have seen many a Great British Baking Show contestants fall on the wayside of a cherry pie that just did not work.
But on that note, we need to start a speed round, and we will do that now. Survivor, who's next?
Oh, gosh. I can't choose anyone from Kayla anymore because they're decent. So I'm just going to go with Sophie. Because that is Sophie with no E. This does not have a leg to stand on in the Hina tribe.
Could be.
Well, she doesn't, but I also think Alex right now is a man without a country. Whereas Sophie with an E has gotten herself in the major alliance. Alex has not. That is trouble.
Speaking of countries, who's going to be left in Europe next?
Jack and Chelsea. If they don't speed up.
That's about right, really, because we're separating the wheat from the chaff right now.
Yeah.
Jeopardy Wheel of Champions right now? For a bit? I think so.
Jeopardy Wheel of Champions, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's I'll go with that too. I'm just trying to think.
The floor. Is anybody going to try and knock Aaron off his perch?
Yes, and we'll see what happens if he does. We'll see what happens if he does. Do we have any mail?
We don't have any mail, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com, or you can follow us on all social media, GameshowNewsNet. I am Dino R. Alexander.
I am Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5&1net. That is the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about anything and everything network wide, including a wild season in the NFL gets even wilder on the BS Big Show. As we
reviewed week 6, and we just started week 7.
By the way, if you want to talk about silly season. The Bengals just beat the Steelers on what proved to be a walk-off field goal.
Yep. Walk-off field goal, And we've got more. We got more London games. We talk about a college coach firing, and all the stuff there.
And a pro coach firing.
That's true.
Titans fire Brian Callahan.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, Gordon, what's happening in the UBA? Where you're starting off again, aren't you? Or are you how into the new season?
We're now two matches in. We got some surprises coming up. Doug Herron is defending the title. I'm sorry, Doug Herron is not defending the title, but he's going after the world title this weekend.
Okay.
We will see if Jason Red will give it to him or not.
Or not. Yes. Over on the NAWC, we have not one but two shows to talk about. We have to talk about Bound for Glory, where the Dudleys, Team 3D, a.k.a. the Dudley Boys, have retired. And in Crown Jewel Perth, which we saw, there was an absolute classic in the making between John Cena and AJ Styles, where they paid tribute to their rivals, their partners. And if you are not, Gordon, I hope you got to see that. I hope you got to see that.
Maybe.
And we're also going to talk about not one, but two possible major injuries between two stars that may be out towards 2026. Because a turn that happened on Monday Night Raw was accelerated due to an injury to Seth Rollins, and the rumor is Jacob Fatu may be out for all of 2026. Due to a non-wrestling injury, which I haven't heard what that injury is. So, but we are about 2 months away from John Cena's final match in Washington, D.C. Crazy.
We are. That's sad. And then the next year after that, you may have AJ doing the exact same thing, AJ Styles.
I would love to see an AJ Styles retirement tour. That would be insane as well. It was a thing, Chico.
A new episode dropped because we passed midnight here on the East Coast. It is Hometown Commercials Volume 6 featuring two lawyers, two pizzas, two pro football players, and one professional basketball players, and also the return of Cookie Opus, Frankie Flight, Rhett and Link, and Jim the Hammer Shapiro.
Okay. Woo-hoo. Yay.
That is we also have a new episode of the Squared Circle Time Machine, TNA Bound for Glory 2010.
Oh, okay.
So that's all. It was a thing on TV.com. So next week, more Survivor, more Race, more Jeopardy, and we review The Road. Is this country music or country music on television? We'll find out next week. But for now, for Gordon Pepper and Jason Block and everybody at 5M1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.
Interrupt this program.